Well, please do grab a Bible and read back with me. Open up with me to Proverbs and chapter 31. Wisdom in a nutshell. That's what the Proverbs are. And wisdom is the skill of living well in the sight of God and man, adjusting our life, our world, to see life from God's eye view in all its complexity, especially when there are no obvious rules to go by. And so when you read through the book of Proverbs, it can feel quite seemingly random at times. And that actually reflects the sometimes chaotic, kaleidoscopic nature of life itself. You know, if you open up your Bible and if you were to read in any one, you know, you open up a chapter. That's your reading for the day. And it's all on the theme of anger and how to deal with anger. And that's all the wisdom. And that might be good. And yet what hits you that day might not be anger issues, but it might be friendship issues. It might be marriage issues. It might be money issues. And so one of the helpful things is that as you read through any given chapter in the book of Proverbs, it throws at you things that reflect how you go through life. Things don't come at you in a neat, orderly fashion that you're well prepared for. They hit you as each day comes. How will you be ready for it? Well, the book of Proverbs is how God trains us to be wise in the day-to-day. God's wisdom. These proverbs enter into our hearts. They change us from within so that as we grow in his word, we will know intuitively what to do and what not to do, what will work and what won't work. No one proverb is a complete statement of truth, generally speaking, but they're like little fence posts that the Holy Spirit will use to guide you, to stop you, to encourage you every day on your walk, on your way to glory. And so why would Solomon write a book on godly wisdom and seeking the Lord? And as we know from the famous verse, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Why would he have this book and end it saying, basically, my last word to you is to go and marry a wonderful woman. Now, that's not to say that there's not a lot of very helpful and very practical wisdom for men and women and marriages in this chapter. There is. It is a beautiful and a precious chapter for many. But let's not disconnect Proverbs 31 from the rest of the book of wisdom. But so before you think I'm going to flatly read this passage and just say something like, here's how to be the perfect wife and the perfect woman, let's take a step back and see the context and the story of the book of Proverbs as a whole. And even though we're only studying the last chapter, it draws together some of the great themes from right across the book. And so the first point this evening, a royal audience. A royal audience. Proverbs 31 isn't to be primarily used to teach wives how to act and what to aim for. But the book as a whole was written by the king to train the young royalty for royal living and godly living. That royal emphasis is there right at the very start of this chapter. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. And this isn't just a mother saying to her son, this is the kind of woman I want you to marry. Although I am sure that many mothers have influenced and even meddled many times over in who they want their sons to marry. Solomon's point here is rather to plead with young men, young people, while he's talking to princes. In the New Testament, we know it is talking to God's royal people, his own children. Solomon's point is to plead with the young to desire wisdom the way they might desire the perfect wife. As all-consuming, a chase for wisdom, as you might imagine a young man would, as he would chase the perfect woman. To us now, Solomon is pleading to desire and commit to wisdom the way a man like this would commit to a wife like this. We're not just royal princes. We are the royal people of God. Whether a man, woman, child, husband, wife, single, doesn't matter. God's royal people through this book of wisdom are being prepared for kingly and godly living as we are being equipped to walk with Jesus and to one day be a co-heir of God's kingdom. Now, Jesus is everywhere in the book of Proverbs. And this overarching royal trajectory of the book finds its fulfillment in Jesus. He is David's promised son, more so than Solomon himself. He kept the covenant of God and won the promised blessings for his people, promises and blessings that are promised to the wise in this book. He kept them. He won those blessings by his wise living. And all the curses to the foolish that are in this book, he took them all due to the unwise that are mentioned in the book. He took them upon himself. And Proverbs ultimately wants us to submit to his loving and wise rule so that he can produce his wisdom in us. We are to be trained to chase after, to seek wisdom. And through King Jesus, we are equipped to walk the way of wisdom. And in the kingdom to come, we will be co-heirs, every Christian, every prince and princess, every child of God, will be a co-heir with Christ, ruling perfectly with him by the wisdom of God. So there's one reason to chase after wisdom. Because his wisdom trains us for godly life now and prepares us for heavenly life to come. So the first thing to see when reading this last chapter is that the royal audience is in view. And the second thing that connects to the book of Proverbs as a whole is the recurring woman wisdom. You have a royal audience in this chapter, but here you also have a recurring woman wisdom. Right through Proverbs, you will maybe remember, or you will see when you go home and you read through, or you might devote yourself to reading a chapter a day over the coming months, we see that godly wisdom is poetically personified as an attractive woman. Woman wisdom. In chapter 8, especially, woman wisdom called out for us to seek her and to find her. We're told that she calls out from the city gates, the place of personal negotiations and community decisions and leadership, and to seek wisdom and ruling and judgment from the elders of the city. And it was the place of economic business, because her wisdom touches every aspect of life. In chapter 8, verse 11, we are told that she is better than jewels. Verse 17 in chapter 8, we're told, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. In verse 35, we're told, those who find me find life and obtain favor from the Lord. Now, woman wisdom is not literally God. She is a literary device born out of the Hebrew word for wisdom. It is the feminine noun, chokmah. But she is meant to be relational and beautiful. She's wisdom come to life. She captures, you know, when you meet this character in the book of Proverbs, she captures our imagination to hear the very voice and wisdom of God in all of its personal reality and beautiful complexity. Wisdom is not some abstract virtue. She is the Lord's call to humanity to love him in all of his beauty and all of his love. Is woman wisdom Jesus? Not exactly. This is poetry. But she points to Jesus. But is Jesus wisdom? Yes. So when we read here in this chapter of the perfect wife, read it as the final climax of the character of woman wisdom that we meet through the whole book. We're introduced to her here in verse 10 with the same basic phrase as back in chapter 8. She is far more precious than jewels. And here, she's no longer just the voice that we were meant to seek after in chapters 1 to 9, which serve as a long introduction to the book of Proverbs. Instead, now you've found her. And this chapter introduces her as someone who we have embraced in a covenant bond, as if wisdom is one flesh with us. No longer a voice out there to be found, to listen to. When you embrace the wisdom of God, the Spirit abides and applies to you his word, dwelling in us, in that bond, embracing us and changing us. Like marriage, we are meant to be safe and secure with her. Woman wisdom now looks after you. Woman wisdom blesses the whole household. And when you sleep, woman wisdom doesn't, continuing to watch over you and help you and protect you and bless you. See that in verse 15. She rises while it is yet night. She beats the sun out of bed to make food for everyone. She stays up all night making merchandise to sell. She's seemingly in this chapter both a night owl and an early bird, which if we, any of us, tried to do consistently, would burn us out. She makes the food, she makes the clothes, she earns the money, she deals with the kids. No wonder men want this woman. What would there be left for them to do? But if you think and read this as purely thinking, oh, this is how a woman should aim to be, then we're going to be left with crushing expectations as to what a woman should be. And we'll be left with disappointment. Because none of us can be like this. No woman will ever be this perfect woman. No man will ever find her. And to read it just like that, as some sort of instruction to how wives should be, would put such a weight of expectation and pressure on women that would be unfair. The best wives on earth need a break. But it seems here that the perfect woman, wisdom, does not. That's a clue that there's more going on here than just instruction for earthly wives. Now, the passage does still talk to men and women in a powerful way. We'll come to that. But the spotlight, the priority of this chapter is what happens when you embrace wisdom. Those early chapters are calling on you not to listen to the voice of the adulteress, but to listen and seek out the voice of woman wisdom. Then you have all these chapters of complex and kaleidoscopic proverbs training us and teaching us, read them, eat them, learn them, memorize them, embrace them. And what do you get? Woman wisdom is yours, like the wife who will help you and guide you and bless you. Men and women, seek after this wisdom. Embrace this wisdom. And embracing her foreshadows embracing Christ. Of course it does. To seek him, his way, his wisdom, to live life with him is to find wisdom worth far more than jewels. Who else works for you around the clock, even as you sleep? The Lord Jesus Christ, always interceding for you, always praying for you at the right hand of God. Who else offers you something far more valuable than just riches and jewels? Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Who else denies himself? As if waking up early and going to bed late at night denies himself so that you might be blessed every day. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1 verse 3 says. He who made himself nothing. Who else took on God's wrath? So that, like the husband here, in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Who else took on the wrath of God so that we might be praised by God at the gates of glory? No wonder the husbands in this passage cherish and affirm and praise this perfect woman wisdom. No wonder they sing about her. It reflects how we are to cherish and affirm and praise and sing about Jesus. So if this chapter is for a royal audience, for us to be trained for royal and godly living, if this chapter is the climax of the recurring picture of how we embrace woman wisdom, she is ours, we have Christ, it's also in light of that embracing of Jesus and being the indwelling presence of the Spirit and the wonderful gospel that is ours through the one who loves us perfectly like this. Then finally, the third R, we have renewed relationships under Christ. A royal audience, the recurring woman wisdom, renewed relationships under Christ. That's what frees us to have relationships and friendships and marriages that may begin to live up to these words in Proverbs 31. And so since Proverbs is the book of gospel wisdom for complicated lives, how to live intuitively and rightly every day when there is no hard and fast rules to live by. This climactic poem of Proverbs 31 is not just pointing us to Jesus. It is practical, like the whole book. These words of embracing woman wisdom aim to take root in our everyday lives, changing us and renewing our relationships together under the wisdom of Christ. And so in that sense, the ideal woman of Proverbs 31 is a role model for woman. This excellent wife is literally translated as a woman of strength, and she is strong on so many levels. She works hard for her family. She makes money. She is kind to the needy and to her community. She has high standards and she sticks to them. She is trustworthy and praiseworthy. And the picture here is of a wise woman who has herself embraced a God's eye view of the world. She has embraced wisdom. She has embraced Jesus. And she has committed herself to living as God would want her to live. And the picture is that she is strong and capable and gifted, able to laugh at the days to come because of her security in Jesus. Able to spread wisdom to others because she knows the way of wisdom through Jesus. This is the wise woman you should aim to be, knowing that even in our flaws and even in how much we lack, we have Christ working and protecting us always. And you also get a glimpse of the ideal man. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. The kids learn to bless their mother because they learn it from dad. He doesn't put her down, insulting her, shouting at her, finding faults, and there's not even that neutral silence. He gives her praise. Tell your wives what you think of them, even in front of others, and especially in front of your children. Build them up. In the same way that Jesus doesn't browbeat you and insult you, neither should any man nor any husband do that to their wives. And the picture here is of a wise man who has himself embraced a God's eye view of the world and embraced wisdom. And embraced Jesus and committed himself to living as God would want him to live. And what do we see? A man full of praise and encouragement and love. And we too know that even in our flaws and in our lack, we have Christ working and protecting us always. But it's through embracing Jesus that we can have his wisdom change us in the day to day. The wisdom of God gave us a chapter that pushes back against caricatures and stereotypes. The ideal woman in this chapter isn't meekly in the background. Jesus' wisdom gives women a radical strength. And the ideal man in this chapter isn't silent and stoic. Jesus' wisdom gives men a radical praising love. How much does that reflect Ephesians 5? That wonderful chapter where Paul is training the church to walk in love and walk in light and walk in wisdom. And one way, one of the most important ways to shine a light to the world around us is, as he goes on to say, do not be filled with wine that leads to debauchery, be filled with the Spirit. And he applies that. How do we be filled by the Spirit? He says, let the light shine in your marriages. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ gave himself up for her. He applies it to in the next chapter to the children and to the way that we work. But the very first thing people see is what we're like in our own families and with our own people. And it should blow them away how countercultural our marriages, our families are. All who embrace God's poetic woman wisdom through Jesus Christ, all who seek to fear and revere the Lord and to see life from his perspective first and foremost, will know the blessing of his love and his care. And so whether married or unmarried, or being a wife or a husband, that's not the big point of a chapter like this. Embracing the wisdom and the way of Jesus and being full of his strength and his praise is. Because his wisdom is what changes us and trains us and equips us in all of our relationships, in all of our dealings day to day, because we have found the perfect wisdom of God that gives life, worth far more than any jewels. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the challenge of these words, forgive us and bring us to our knees at the cross of Jesus, that we would be forgiven, and that with the power of resurrection, we would be renewed. Come, Lord Jesus, abide in us, change us and train us, and equip us to go and shine and show the world how your wisdom is good. And your wisdom is worth seeking, and your wisdom is worth embracing. May our lives reflect the wisdom of Jesus. And may people, even in our villages here, desire to know this Jesus and to embrace this Jesus for themselves. Bless this place. Bless your people. Help us to be your royal children. Go ahead of us in all things, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen. Well, we can conclude singing from Psalm 78, the Sing Psalms version of Psalm 78, and verses 1 to 6. O my people, hear my teaching. Parables I will unfold. Give attention as I utter dark and hidden things of old, things that we have heard and known. By our fathers they were shown. Let's stand and sing to God's praise.
O my people, hear my teaching. Parables I will unfold. Give attention as I utter dark and hidden things of old, things that we have heard and known. By our fathers they were shown. We will tell them to our children, generations yet to come. We will show the Lord's great power and the wonders he has done. Lost for Israel, he
Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.